listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org. The community's true voice.
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. On tonight's show, we are honored to have two special guests on the show. We have two representatives from the Phil-Minnesotan Association, the President Aleth Flores, along with Joy Dava, who are going to speak about a thing that they went to in the Philippines that's near and dear to them, the Minnesotan Association's Global Outreach, or FMA Go. So I'd like to welcome you both to the show this evening.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
And for our listeners that do not know the history behind the FMA Global Outreach, how did this come to be?
Sure, I can answer that. So FMA Global Outreach was started in 2016 when I was the president of FMA. But what it really did was to formalize the work, which is mostly to raise funds used for helping out Filipinos in the Philippines when there is an immediate need, like calamities, or a short or long-term need, like a feeding program or an eyeglass outreach. So we formalized the funds that were flowing through the organization and identified this name, FMA Global Outreach, because the funds were specifically going to Filipinos in the Philippines.
And why was this finally the perfect time for FMA to do the global outreach?
So I'm thankful that since 2016 we have continued to raise funds for global outreach, and it continued through President June Nachinas's term. One of the goals, and continue to today with President Aleth's term. So one of the goals of FMA Global Outreach is to partner with a local entity, community, a contact in the Philippines, so that we know that the funds we raise will really go to that community instead of like maybe donating to a larger organization. We know for sure that we have a local contact, that we know that the funds raised or the resources will go to that community. So during President June Nachinas's term, we actually identified Eleanor Flores Foundation as a established foundation in the Philippines already. So we had already started to raise funds, not only for him, but for also other, not only for that organization, but also for other entities. So when the opportunity came up that the FPMM headed by Dr. Cabral was heading there to do a mission, we thought it was the right opportunity for us as FMA to see what this community was like in Santa Fe, Bantayan Island, as well as one of our goals also is to identify other marginalized communities in the Philippines, and that's one of the areas we went to was in Antique.
And to give some context for our listeners, Drew Nacionales served as a president for FMA for two terms?
Correct, from 2018 to 2021. Yeah,
right.
2021, yes.
And once you guys did partner with these two groups and decide to partake in this for the FMA global outreach part of it, how long of a planning stage for this trip that you all went on? It's more than just you two. There was quite a great contingent from FMA that went out there. How long did that initial planning take?
It started, actually it started, like Joy said, it started in June's term. And so when we found out, you know, FPMM, Dr. Bernard Cabral, has been to the LNR Foundation, LNR Flores Foundation, and has done a mission there already back in 2019. Yeah, and so when we found out that he would like to come back and do something bigger, it was an opportunity for the executive officers and board members to be a part and be experience, you know, what and how a medical mission is done. And so it's been a couple years at least that we've been planning to do this. And of course we had requirements, you know, and deadlines to meet for those people that, you know, want to experience and be a part of this. Since we are all non-medical people, you know, Dr. Cabral would usually have some non-medical support team to go with him. And so we, you know, we told him that instead of bringing his own non-medical support, that FMA, you know, can do that part of the mission. And so that was how it was decided. You know, it was a 2-year plan. You know, we everybody knows that they have to pay their own way. You know, the only funds that FMA gave was to FPMM to split up the medical supplies and medications that, you know, that they would need during those 2 days.
And for our listeners who haven't frequently traveled to the Philippines, from Minnesota, it is approximately 20 plus hours or so to Metro Manila.
Yeah.
And then on top of that to Cebu, how much more additional travel for our listeners that don't know how long of a haul that is as well? And that we're just talking about the main airport part.
Yes.
How far out after that did you guys travel?
So Manila to Cebu is about an hour or by plane. And then from Cebu, Flores Foundation provided transportation to go to the island. To go to the island, it takes 3 hours by bus. And so it was nice that, you know, they provided a big bus for us, like those community buses, those big buses, and then that's to go to the northern part of Cebu. So that's 3 hours, and then another hour by ferry boat. So it took a long time, and you know, some people that came from Minnesota went straight, you know, from Minnesota to the northern, to Bantayan Islands. So that was like almost 30 some hours of travel.
And how big was the FMA contingent that went out to the Philippines for the global outreach?
So there were 13 of us, as Aleph mentioned, that went on our own expense. So I wanted to emphasize that this is something that we did on our own expense and as a group as part of the FMA community.
And for some of the volunteers from FMA, this was their first time doing something of this such endeavor. Were there some sort of, in your mind, what were you expecting? And then when you actually did go, was there different epiphanies of, wow, this is more than you expected, or about what you were expecting in regards to what you were seeing out there in the area?
Well, for me, I think that we each had our own expectations of what we will see and what's going to come out of it. But really, it's not until you are there serving the people, looking into their eyes, and seeing their condition, and even knowing that some of them, you know, traveled by boat through a stormy sea because there was a storm the day before, and then walked to the place where we were holding the outreach, and then waiting for hours. And then, so it's not really until you are there and see it that really your expectations are like, wow, this is more than what I expected to really feel. I think for a lot of us, and I can give you some examples, you know, people were moved to compassion to do more than what they were there to do. So FMA, as Alice said, we were part of the non-medical support staff, although three of the members did have nursing background, and they, you know, provided more medical type support. But for those of us, you know, that we were just like doing registration or taking temperature, as we see and saw these people and the people that we were serving, some of us were moved to give more already. So we were already there to serve, but then out of our own pockets, we would like give towards maybe a need that they saw, like a pair of slippers, mm-hmm. or we saw that they were getting hungry, so someone brought food and drinks. And so, no, it's just like, because you're already there, right? So for me anyway, it was very moving, and it really makes me want to do more for our fellow Filipinos.
Yeah, it was very, like I said, yeah, it was an opener, an eye opener for everyone. You know, I think for most of us, or if not all of us, this is our first time doing a medical mission in the Philippines. And so I guess all of us realize how poor, you know, some of our towns are in the Philippines. But like Joy said, you don't really know until you're there and experience, you know, what you're seeing. You know, it's we don't realize how fortunate and how lucky we are here. We take things for granted when we go to the doctor's office that, you know, everything is clean, everything is, you know, while they're doing medical things, you know, in a basketball open hall, and where it's not, you know, your most cleanest place, and still they were able to do you know, dental and eye checkups, you know, right there. And so the compassion in a lot of us, you know, comes out, yeah, when you see people that are very poor. I think at one point we ran out of eye medicines, you know, eye drops for some of our ophthalmology patients. And so, yeah, we felt drawn to, you know, give them, you know, even though it's like 100 pesos or 200 pesos, just to get that medicine at the pharmaceutical, you know, over there. And so, you know, because I guess, yeah, we realize how lucky we are. And, you know, 100 pesos is almost nothing to us, but there it's like a big amount of money.
And just a reminder to our listeners, on the Filipino American National News this evening, we have Alice Flores and Joy Dava speaking about the Film Minnesotan Association's global outreach that they did in Santa Fe, Cebu. What I typically know of medical missions or any things of a mission sort of trip, these endeavors last all day. How early and how long were your days volunteering?
Well, you know, Dr. Bernard Cabral was the head really of the mission, and you know, since our set time for the patients to come is at 7, though you know probably a lot of them are probably there earlier than that, and so we were asked to get up at 5, you know, have our, you know, get ready, have breakfast by 5:30. Had a quick meeting, you know, what's expected and, you know, and what to expect for the day. And so, yeah, by 7, everybody was at their posts. We were very conscious of, you know, of our time and the patient's time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were given an hour break. You know, we will relieve each other, you know, if anybody needed to go to the bathroom or, you know, needed a snack. Like I said, some people were still jet lag, and so, you know, we would tell them, okay, why don't you take a, you know, like a 5, 10, 15 minute, close your eyes somewhere in the corner, you know, just to so they're not getting dizzy and falling asleep right there. But yeah, and then we worked, I think, until 5. Yeah. And then, you know, and that's for 2 days. And so, yeah.
And in regards to the people that you were helping in those 2 days that you were part of this, what sort of crowds of people, if you had to guess, came out for help?
What do you mean?
I mean, for the people that the patients, essentially, if you had to guess, in the hundreds of...
Oh. Yeah, we actually counted, and on the first day, I believe it was almost 800, and then on the second day, it was almost like 600. So the total, I think, was approximately over 1,400 people in those 2 days.
And from what you could gather, the people that you were serving, had these people generally had medical or dental procedures done to them in the past, or may this have been the first time?
Probably, especially the dental. I think a lot of them, you know, have been their first times, you know, because the dental was mostly extractions. And so I think, you know, that means that at that point, they didn't have any dental care at all. You know, by the time they get there, it just needed to be pulled out. And so that's why they would go there, you know, just to get the teeth pulled out. Nothing really could have been saved. So some of them, there were a lot of old people that had medical issues, you know, and also they, you know, the most common Filipino sickness is, you know, hypertension and diabetes. And luckily, that's what most of what Dr. Cabral brought are those medications. A lot of them really don't... you know, not like us here, we have insurance, so we would take those medications, you know, in our lifetime. And I think these people will just take those medications, you know, as long as the supply lasts. When it's done, they're done. Yeah.
And we spoke a lot about on this interview about this medical mission with Dr. Cabral and his organization, with FMA and Global Outreach. Were you, your group, able to explore Santa Fe or that area and do your own sort of outreach from solely from an FMA point of view?
Yes, definitely. So that's one of our goals, right? Not just really in Santa Fe, Bantayan Island, Cebu, but we also went to Antique as part of our exploratory tour to identify marginalized communities where we can, you know, provide a help in a need that they have. So we did identify one in Antique, And we did visit an elementary school there in the mountains called Tina Elementary School. And we, ahead of time, our contact there is President June Nationalis's sister-in-law. She knows the people there and has connection. So she made us aware of the needs there. Actually, it's Noemi Nationalis, who is also an FMA board member, that also was actively reaching out to that school to find out what their needs are. So that is one of the schools, that is one of the schools that we visited.
And as we stated earlier in the interview, I mean, there's certain things being here in the United States that you definitely have certain advantages as opposed to rural areas in the Philippines. Seeing a school in the Philippines, what surprised you there? What needs do those sort of schools need that we might not realize here in the United States?
Well, for the school in Tina Elementary in Antique, so they do not have a water system in their school. And so that is one of the things that we would, go through the process within the FMA board. But people, even who are part of the mission, said that even if for some reason, you know, our FMA board does not approve it, that out of their own, that we would, you know, try and help them out. So one of the things that surprised me is how happy the kids were. You know, they came in on a Saturday. All 122 of them came in on a Saturday to greet us, to sing, and yes, to for us to get to know them. And also the teachers and the school heads also came out. So that was really, to me, was a blessing to see that, that they were happy. But at the same time, I knew that, you know, that there is that need, but it's like they learn to live with it, right? You learn to live mm-hmm. With what you have. Mm-hmm. So, but still, the school principal did identify that as one of their needs.
Yeah.
And as you stated, both of you earlier, that this isn't necessarily a one-time thing with FMA Global Outreach, that this is something that's been brewing for a few years, and finally you were able to go to the Philippines this past year. I mean, it was quite an eventful month or so. I mean, just with things that you guys do here locally for the community and then going to the Philippines. Moving forward, what do you think FMA Global Outreach goals are for the future?
Well, we would like to continue to help these schools that we visited, if possible. Like Joy said, you know, if not with the board, with the FMA, you know, us individually would really like to help them, because we did really saw and felt what they needed. And so, especially in Hamtik, you know, I mean, how do you, you can't imagine how to survive without a running water. I mean, that's unheard of here. And so, you know, we really felt, you know, that that's a real need, you know, just clean running water for them. And so we would really like to go on with that project. You know, we will continue to do fundraising. And, you know, also with this FMA Global Outreach, I mean, we don't want to limit ourselves to those two, you know, to the Santa Fe and to Hamtik. I mean, if anybody comes approach us and ask us if, you know, we could, you know, be of help. I mean, you know, like I said, we can go through it with the board, you know, and see how, you know, how else we can help, you know, the needs of our Filipino fellow. So, I think we want to keep going on with this project, because I think it's really good and beneficial to our fellow Filipinos.
As an observer from afar, I must commend the FMA with this project, FMA Global outreach? Because there are a lot of times where the community, they donate to, say, a charity, which is always a great thing. But you guys were hands-on. You donated, you said, outside of FMA from your own pockets, helping out there. And then another great thing is seeing the collaboration amongst organizations, three organizations that have Minnesota connections working together in the Philippines. For our listeners that might want to learn more about FMA Global Outreach, where can they find information or who could they contact in regards to that?
Sure. So we have a Facebook page. You could always message us through the Phil Minnesota Association Facebook page. And then we have our PRO who's managing that page. So she could always direct those questions to us. And then we can, reach out and answer those questions for whoever wants to have any questions about it.
You stated that this took about 2 years planning. Do we hopefully potentially see another outreach in maybe 2 years or maybe sooner? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that would really be, that would be really good. And I mean, if we do have another one, we have some people contacting us already that's, would like to experience what we experienced there. And, hopefully, with enough planning and maybe collaborating again with FBMM and if not other organizations, that would be really great and another dream for us to do.
And before we come close to the end of the interview, any closing remarks about the overall impact that this mission or FMA Global Outreach had on both of you individually?
Well, for me, like I said in the beginning, it was an eye-opener. It was my first participation in a medical mission. And, I really felt fulfilled, and it was very heartwarming. And, this is something that I would like to do, more of, maybe in the future, given the, opportunity again. I would certainly do it all over again. It was a great, great experience.
So for me, a couple of takeaways. One is I really commend our team, the team that went out there. The FMA members, board members, led by, President Aleth Flores. So these members that went out there, they're not new to volunteering. They have volunteered in past FMA events like basketball tournament, debutantes ball. And so when we were there, everyone just took their place and brought in their supply, whatever that is, their effort there. We knew how to work as a team, which I just really love that. To me, it's like, this is a different, is this a different activity, but yet it's still within FMA. And so we knew how to work in a team setting. So that was really, I'm so thankful for that, for the group that went out there with us. And then I'm really thankful for the partnership as well with Dr. Cabral and with Dodge Flores, with the LNR Foundation, and really his sister that did a lot of the prep work before we got there. So really thankful for that collaboration. And then finally, just really thankful for the Filipino people that went and, participated in the outreach, the patients, the school children, that they were... yes, they have a need, right? But for them to come out and, receive help, I think sometimes takes a lot of humility. And I'm just really thankful for them too, because I think that without them, really, why would we even go out there, right? So overall, I'm just really thankful and blessed to be a part of this. And as Aleth mentioned, looking forward to future global outreaches.
And on behalf of the Filipino American National News, I'd like to thank both Aleth Flores and Joy Dava for coming on the show. And personally, I'd like to say kudos to the entire FMA global outreach team that went out to the Philippines and did things out there, some great things for